Welcome to Coffee Time with James. It is Monday, May 3rd, 2021. And today we are going to wrap up our conversation that we have been having about talking with God, using the Lord's Prayer. We've been doing this for 9 weeks. And so let's just dive right in and remind ourselves of how Jesus teaches us to talk with God. In Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9, going through verse 13, it says this. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, as I've mentioned over the last 9 weeks, Jesus' teaching on prayer is revolutionary. It's different than any other person has ever talked about talking with God. He tells us that God, the creator of the universe, is our Father. That means that he desires to have this real personal relationship with us. He is loving and he's good, and he is also to be hallowed, to be revered. He is just and he is perfect. He is holy. We're to ask for his kingdom, his will, to be done in our lives, in our community, in our churches, in our families. We should ask for his will, not our will, but his will to be done. We're supposed to ask him for the things that we need each day and trust him to give us the things that we need. And we should do that. We should bring a request to him with an attitude of gratitude, of being grateful and thankful. We're to ask him to forgive us for the ways that we have sinned against him, the times that we've been selfish, the times that we have acted as rebellious children. And we are also to forgive other people, to not put ourselves in the place of judge, jury, and executioner, to not usurp God's place, but in turn, ask God to help us to forgive other people. We're to ask him to lead us away from temptation, not just help us to walk away from temptation, but to lead us in the opposite direction of temptation. And last, but definitely not least, he tells us to ask him to deliver us from the evil one. We talked about last week that temptation does not come from God and that God is more powerful than any temptation that we will ever face and that we don't have to face these temptations alone. God wants us to live dependent upon him and our prayers asking for his help in these moments is a way that we live dependent upon God. Now, we have a real enemy. And I know that a lot of times people don't like to talk about the enemy. People either don't like to talk about the enemy or that's all they ever want to talk about. They want to talk about the devil, Satan, the accuser of all mankind. And other times people go, oh, that's superstition and you reading into things. But the truth is we do have an enemy. We have someone who is living in rebellion against God and it has used and deceived people to carry out his desires. Jesus said this about our enemy. It's found in John chapter 8, verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. He is a deceiver. He's going to lie to you about who God is. He's going to lie to you about who you are. He's going to try to deceive you and drag you away. And that's why Jesus says that we should pray and ask God to deliver us from the evil one. Now, Jesus, he knew this from experience. This wasn't just in theory. This is Jesus has faced this temptation. The Bible tells us that after Jesus was baptized, he was led out into the wilderness and that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that time of fasting, he experienced temptation. And each time he was tempted, the liar, the deceiver, the accuser of mankind took scripture, he took Bible verses and he distorted them. He took them out of context. He still does that today. He took it out of context, but instead of Jesus giving into that, Jesus spoke truth back to him. He quoted Bible back to him, Bible verses back to him, and he took it in context, and he defeated the enemy by quoting the Bible back to him. Jesus also makes this distinction between him and the enemy. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." See, Jesus is different. Jesus came to give us life, real life, abundant life, life that goes on forever, life that is not hindered by addiction and not robbed from us with sin, but a life of freedom, freedom to love God and to love others. But the enemy, he's a thief. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. And he does that by speaking lies to you and trying to tempt you to not honor God, to not live in fear and reverence towards God, but to instead worship yourself or live in fear of him. Listen to what God inspired the Apostle Paul to write in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. He writes, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, because Jesus came to give us life, we could trust him. Because Jesus was willing to lay down his life to purchase our freedom from sin and death, we can trust him. And so we can pray and we can ask our loving Father who sent Jesus to redeem us, to rescue us, to give us life. We can trust him to deliver us from the evil one. In Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, it says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." See, the psalmist, he's able to have this confidence because he knows that God is for him. And you need to know that God is for you. Jesus is proof of how much God is for you. And so Jesus teaches us to pray in these ways, to call out to our good, loving, holy, heavenly Father. And so that's what we're going to do today together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for who you are. We thank you that you are good, loving Father, and that you are holy and you are just. God, we pray that your will, your desire would happen in our lives. We pray that you would conform our wills, our desires, and bring them into alignment with you. God, we thank you for all the ways that you have continued to provide for us. We thank you that you tell us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things, all the things that we need will be added to us as well. And so, God, we bring our daily needs to you now. You know what they are, and we trust you to meet them. God, we pray that you would forgive us. Forgive us for the times where we have believed lies. Forgive us for the times when we have sought our own way to fulfill our own desires and our own strength. Forgive us for the times when we have looked to other things or trusted in other things. Forgive us for the times where we have rebelled, when we have sinned against you. God, we thank you that when we confess our sins to you, that you are faithful and just, and you are clean us up from all unrighteousness. Not only do you forgive us, but you clean us up as well. And God, since you are so good and you are so gracious, we pray that you would help us to forgive other people. Help us to show your grace to other people. God, I pray that you would help us to surrender over the ways that we have been offended, the ways that we have been sinned against. And we trust you now, God, to act in a way that is fully just and full of love. God, lead us away from temptation. God, you know our weaknesses, and we bring our weaknesses to you, and we ask that you would deliver us, that you would lead us away from temptation. God, I pray that when we do face temptation, you would help us to see the escape, the exit, the way out that you promised to give us. Give us the strength and the ability to leave those things. And God, we pray against our enemy. We pray against the liar, the thief, the accuser of all mankind. God, deliver us from him. And I thank you that, Jesus, you won that victory on the cross, and help us to live our lives in light of that victory. God, I pray that you would break any stronghold that the enemy has on anyone who's having coffee with me right now. God, I pray that you would, in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, that you would break addiction, that you would break fear, that you would break doubt, that you would silence the liar and help us to cling to your truth, the truth. And we ask all of this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you so much for having coffee with me. I hope that the last 9 weeks, as we have unpacked the Lord's Prayer, it has helped you out. This coming week at Intrepid, it's going to be Mother's Day, and we're going to celebrate Mother's Day together. And we're also going to conclude our series, Wisdom, the Art of Living Well, talking about being the smartest person in the room, what that looks like and what that means. And the following week, we're going to start a brand new series that we're still kind of getting all the graphics together for, but we're going to start a brand new series, and that series is about living in the presence of greatness, and how when we are aware that we're living in the presence of God, how that changes us and transforms us, and we can face any challenges together with him. Thank you again for having coffee with me, and I hope that you have a great week. I will talk to you later.